again, and welcome to 4Play Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. 4Play is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Each episode, we cover an aspect of sex that impacts your sex life and something that you can relate to. So if you find our discussions helpful, please give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. We would love it if you would tell a friend about us. You can find us also on the web at 4playrst.com. And if you have a comment or a topic that you'd like us to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. Please send them to us at info@4playrst.com. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic.
Hi, Lori. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
What's up in your world?
I just got back from Nashville. I was in Nashville all weekend.
Had
a four-hour flight delay late Thursday night.
Fun.
I was supposed to leave at 7:30, left at 11:30, 12:30.
Nashville is one of the funnest towns I've ever been in.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I went one night with some friends that live in Nashville, and we went downtown. You know, like, just the people on the street could sing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the people with cups, you know, begging. I mean, they were amazing. It was so much fun.
Do you like good country music?
Honky tonk.
You like hockey tonk music, not just country music?
Yeah, I love everything. But, I mean, I love live music, and I love country music.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it was like heaven. And, you know, people, the passion and the enthusiasm and just people having a great time. We went into this one bar, and it was like sardines. I mean, you know, here I'm probably the oldest lady in the room, you know, and just packed in there with people.
Wow.
I mean, it was really fun dancing and stuff.
Do you line dance? Do you?
Yeah, not very well.
All that.
Yeah, I would really like to learn more about that.
Yeah.
We two-step and we shag, but we.
You what now?
We shag.
Okay.
That's Carolina Beach music.
But, that's Carolina Beach music. Okay.
I love to dance and I love music and all that. So yeah. I think it's just one of the funnest places on earth. Nashville, we love you.
Nashville. If you're in Nashville, give us a shout, man.
Yeah.
It's a good town.
Well, but you're back.
I'm back. I'm exhausted, but I'm here. You know?
Oh,
so flight got in late last night as well. So.
Oof.
Apparently, that's the only time that Raleigh Airport flies to Nashville is late.
That's right.
All right. So what are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about seven ways to increase her orgasmic power. So this is a problem. And what I want to say is it's all of these techniques will work for a woman who has normal functioning. So if she's just a normal woman and you want to help her have a bigger pop, this might work. But the problem comes when a woman, for whatever reasons, loses her orgasm, like loses the power of it. It's not that she can't have one anymore, but when she has one, basically the mountain becomes the molehill.
Okay.
Ah! It's a really hard problem.
Right.
Like when a woman comes in and tells me this problem, I'm like, okay.
So you're talking about more the size of the orgasm.
This is the subjective size of the orgasm is decreased.
Right.
And I don't know how it is for men exactly, but for women, I mean, you know, we, like, rank them.
You rank them?
Well.
you keep in track. That one was a 9. That was only a 6.5. You just freaked out every single man out there. I just want you to know that. Freaked them out.
It's not dependent.
They're keeping that. You have preached forever that men should not care about performance, Lori. And now you tell us that women are ranking their orgasms? What? Are they keeping a ledger, too? Do they have a little ledger in their nightstand?
Really.
Like the date and the number, the orgasm power? I like, too, that we're calling it orgasm or the orgasm power.
The orgasmic power. It's not his power to give you an orgasm. It's subjective.
Okay.
And it's not, you know, the crazy thing as a female is it's not always dependent on these things that I'm going to talk about. Sometimes it just happens. You know, you hit the bell. You know, and so other times it doesn't. But when women consistently tell me, okay, you know, I used to have great orgasms, big ones, and now I don't. Okay, we have a problem and we got to fix it. And I will say that in my experience,
overall, I've been able to fix this. Mm-hmm. Most of the time it's fixable. Sometimes it requires intervention with medical professionals, not me, but doctors and things. And so I'll talk about that too. But the first thing, and you know, this is tried and true, for a bigger orgasm for most women, it depends on what is considered like the vasocongestion platform. So if she has a long arousal, you know, a really slow, teasing, long arousal, she's going to have probably a better orgasm. So we call it edging, which is basically coming close to orgasm without going over the cliff.
Okay.
You know, but keeping her kind of right on the edge.
Right on the edge.
And to get her there, you know, it's going to take quite a bit of time. So, I mean, this is the problem with, you know, our busy culture. This is the problem with all kinds of things. Vibrators are great. I love vibrators. I think that, you know, they're a great tool for these women particularly. But sometimes just the old-fashioned way, you know, lots of kissing, touching, holding, a long time, like I'm talking 45 minutes, gentlemen, you know, of touching her and holding her on the edge builds basically all the blood. So a man gets erect, right? Mm-hmm. A woman gets erect too. Her tissue gets erect. It fills with blood. And that sort of long sense, so when she's swollen, puffy, you know, you can feel that lubrication is, again, erratic in terms of a sign. But edging close to orgasm and holding there is one technique to see. And this is what I ask the women. It's like, okay, if you do this, this is their first exercise. They can do it by themselves. They can do it with a partner. But when they're held on the edge of orgasm, do they have a bigger pop?
Hmm.
Yeah. Most women do.
Seeing if the power and the rating goes up.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. I think the biggest challenge with that one is going to be the length of time that you're recommending there. I can see couples being up for trying that, but the 45 minutes does seem a bit daunting, I think, for a lot of couples.
Sure. But it takes most women like 45 minutes to get to orgasm. I mean, it takes them 20 minutes just to let go of their list.
Yeah.
Of the things to do and to refocus, and then 20 minutes of touching. I mean, that's kind of normal for a female.
Sure.
But I'm talking about a lot of focused touching. I mean, if you have a partner who's not having orgasms, you know, or a partner who's not having big orgasms anymore, what do you get?
Dissatisfactory sex life.
Right. You get a woman who doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if there's no big bang, there's no big deal.
Right.
So she's got to have a big bang.
I think what I would, the thing
not,
that I would
not
say.
Not all the time. That doesn't necessarily translate to what she says is marital sexual satisfaction, right?
Right.
But we are talking today about technique.
Right. And I think that 45 minutes, though, seems to me it's not just spur of the moment necessarily sex. It can be, I guess, but it seems like that's going to have to be a planned activity.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What's your next one?
Okay. So a vibrator. Just for the record, it's a clitoral vibrator. I mean, most women don't experience vaginal orgasms. Only 15% of them really do. So, you know, when you're thinking about a toy, you know, or a vibrator, think about a powerful one that plugs into the wall, and that's going to take time. So the clitoris is really the center, as we've talked about her sexual pleasure. So it's also like this wishbone kind of structure. So there's the tip that you see on top of the body, but there's a wishbone structure that lays in the pelvis, in the vulva, below. And that's like nerve endings, and part of those nerves form like an area in the vagina that is more sensitive, the G-spot, you know, partly sort of because of these legs of the clitoris. And vibrators that have like a deeper frequency stimulate those as well as pressure. So, you know, they really have to be, you want to maximize every part of the clitoral structure that you can to hopefully get to more arousal.
So is it utilizing the vibrator partnered, solo?
I mean, either one.
It's just using it to learn.
I say women have to drive. Yeah. You know, overall, when you use vibrator, she's usually the one who kind of knows where it ought to be. I mean, it could be fun the other way too, but we're talking about healing something or fixing a problem. So,
right.
You know, so basically it's when it's not easy for her, she needs a vibrator with kind of those more powerful plug-in ones, and it has to go deep. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Okay.
And the goal being there is to just learn where pressure's needed, right?
That's right. And okay. Again, this is going to take some time. I mean, women tell me all the time who are anorgasmic but have never had an orgasm. I'll say, well, how long did you use the vibrator? They're like, oh, 5 minutes. I'm like, oh, okay, not enough. Not even close to enough. But for a woman who's lost her orgasm, again, this is probably another 45 minute to an hour venture, not necessarily using the vibrator the whole time, but using it to forward arousal.
That makes sense.
Yeah. To get her up the mountain if you can, and then alternating with touch.
What's your next suggestion?
Okay, next tip. Multiple stimuli. So, like, I had this one patient, and she was menopausal, and this is a big problem. Sometimes, not all the time, sometimes women in menopause go crazy. You know, they have, like, the best sex of their life, thank God. But other women, it reduces. And she was one of those. And she had a loving husband. They had had great sex before. You know, nothing had particularly changed. And so I knew absolutely this was not a relational problem. This was not a sexual problem between the two of them. She was really a test case problem that it was hormonal. However, there were reasons that she could not take hormones. So in this case, you know, we had to, like, manage all kinds of things. The thing that worked for her, and I'm going to be a little graphic here, but she liked anal stimulation with a toy and clitoral stimulation at the same time. And partly, you know, it was the taboo of that, the risk factor of that, that she liked, that kind of produced that sense of, okay, this is more exciting. I mean, the good news to me was that we got her there. You know, she got to a good orgasm again. But she felt some shame. Oh, this, you know, it shouldn't be this way. I shouldn't need all of this. And I'm like, girl, you're getting there. I mean, this is good news. If you have one way that works, that's great. But, you know, a lot of women, maybe it's actually oral sex, or, you know, they want them to talk dirty to her and as well as touching her, or oral sex and G-spot stimulation. In some ways, you know, multiple stimulation, multiple ways, kind of is confusing. It's really hard to focus. So for women that are normally functioning, it reduces anxiety because they can't figure out what to focus on, and they can't figure out what's not working. You know, so it's all of those things are confusing in a good sort of way. It reduces her anxiety because she's not saying, well, that doesn't feel good. She's like, oh, I'm feeling this, and I'm feeling this, and I'm feeling that, and it's overwhelming.
Yeah, so it also seems like that would help get her out of her head as well.
It gets her out of her head.
Because there's multiple things happening all at the same time. It would be hard to focus on something else
when you have
multiple things that are.
It's kind of like that hot sex experience early in life when their hands are all over your body. And you're like, whoa, I didn't know you had so many hands.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. We'll be right back. Lori Watson, sex therapist, and Dr. Adam Matthews, couples therapy. Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy.
Wanting sex again. How to rediscover desire and heal a sexless marriage by certified sex therapist Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido, from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
It is one of my great joys in life to be able to really help individuals and couples find strength in their relationships and really find hope again.
Licensed marriage and family therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews from Matthews Counseling.
I work with a wide variety of issues, including depression and anxiety, marital issues, issues with adolescence. I believe that therapy should be designed around you, that it should be personalized to who you are and to your unique situation.
Therapy is available in office, online, and by phone.
I want therapy to be comfortable for everyone. At our office, you'll find that we sit around a fireplace in deep, comfortable chairs, look at the problem differently, and offer practical solutions for you to take home and utilize outside of the therapy room.
Schedule today and rediscover hope.
You can find me on the web at matthewscounseling.net, Matthews with one T. You can contact us through email or phone and find a lot of resources on our website, matthewscounseling.net.
Play Radio Sex Therapy with sex therapist Lori Watson and couples therapist Dr. Adam Matthews. We're talking about seven ways to increase her orgasmic power, and this is for the woman.
And I'm just interpreting that as seven ways to increase her rating for orgasm.
Yeah, for
moving it up from a five to a ten.
Moving it, okay, but we're talking really about women maybe in menopause, a disease state, or maybe they're using like an antidepressant or a medication or something that is complex in nature that has reduced her orgasmic power. That's what I'm talking about. But Adam's listening, you know, in the way Adam is listening.
I'm going to go home and ask my wife for her ledger where she's keeping track. I want to see it. I'm going to chart it. I'm going to have a chart.
let's not put any pressure on anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I think that, you know, the mind is the most powerful way to stimulate yourself and your partner. So using erotica and fantasy are two really good ways to do this. And, you know, we talk a lot about some of the problems with pornography and erotica and the ways that it makes sex not look real. But the other thing is for people who are having trouble focusing or having trouble turning their mind on, borrowing a fantasy visually in a romantic book, a sexual book, or creating their own fantasy. I mean, they have to have something going on in their brain. I mean, using a vibrator for a woman cold without a sexual fantasy, forget about it. She's never going to have an orgasm.
Yeah.
She has to have something going on in her head that is really sexual. And so sometimes this is very challenging, right? Because I talk with my patients about what turns them on. And this is so difficult in partnership that, you know, we often never tell. And
there's
like this world of power in terms of what we really think about, what we really fantasize about, what we really want. There's a huge world. And so, you know, sometimes I'll talk to a woman, and I'm sure there's people out there that will resonate with this. And she'll say, I never think about sex. And I think, no, I think all those bad words, I think that's not true. You know, she's not saying it. She's not exploring it. She hasn't gone inside, you know, because all of us actually have an erotic sexual life on the inside. She hasn't released that, you know, hasn't gone for that. But mostly I think it's difficult to tell our partner it.
Yeah.
I mean, if we told our partner how crazy it is on the inside, right? They'd think we were a slut, or they'd think we'd withheld from them. You know, like, you think all that, and you haven't told me, oh my God. Yeah, you know, we're just in a bind.
Well, and that, I mean, we've talked about that before, about creating safe spaces for, to be able to share that information, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's about the couplehood and how they are able to be emotionally intimate with each other. But when they share those, those fantasies and are able to kind of carry them out. Like, what I've heard you say before, and make sure I'm right on this, is that women often need a story that they're telling themselves about the relationship.
That's right.
And when they move into the
sexual
part.
And that's why, I mean, for women, some women really do like visual stimulation, but oftentimes it has to be accompanied by a good, you know, it's like, for a lot of women, maybe an R movie is better than porn because it has a narrative. You know, she can put herself in emotional connectivity in that and feel kind of the slow arousal of being desired, of the romance, of something that makes it personal. I think flesh slapping flesh, I get it. I'm not knocking it, but I think that overall for a lot of women, that's not stimulating. So we have to get her to see something that she really is turned on by, or to read something that she's turned on by, or to make it up in her own head, which is always the best, most tailored source of fantasy, right?
Yeah, and then sharing that and then being able to carry that out.
Exactly.
Yeah. You have mindfulness on here as a way to increase orgasmic power as well.
Yeah.
So tell me about that. How are you thinking about utilizing mindfulness here?
So mindfulness is about being present in the moment, being aware of your senses, being tuned into your sensuality and touch. It's being there. You know, and I think if you're worried that your orgasm isn't going to happen, if you're distracted in your relationship or the relationship isn't good, it's so hard to be present to the touch. I was reading another thing about optimal sexuality. Mm-hmm. And they said a lover who is optimal is somebody who touches in a way that's attuned. It's like they're not touching, hoping for a response. They're just touching and feeling what the response is. And it's the same sort of thing when you're present in your own body.
Yeah.
Being touched. Like, what does that feel like? How can you tune into that? Is it pleasurable? How might it be more pleasurable? How, you know, like that sense of really being acutely aware of the very moment is being mindful, and that increases our arousal, increases our desire, increases the potential of the experience.
Yeah, and do you think that can be practiced too in non-sexual ways to enhance the sexual?
Sure, right? I mean, like meditation and practicing mindfulness in any space makes life richer and better.
Yeah.
You know, because we come into the moment. We learn to clear away distractions.
Yeah, and that's learning how to be present in the moment as well, so you can translate that into the bedroom. I was thinking about yoga as another means to enhance the ability to be present as well and to be mindful.
Many men are thinking about yoga pants, actually.
Yes, they are. Yoga pants are not a bad thing. That can help when you keep wearing the yoga pants into the day. Yeah,
exactly.
There's ways that you can really learn how to be present in your body, connect in different ways.
Right. I mean, that's all what yoga is all about, stretching, flexibility, but also being very present in the body, in the moment. So yeah, it's being embodied.
Yeah.
I mean, being embodied in sex instead of hovering over the bed, judging yourself, evaluating, or anything like that. It's
dissociating.
Dissociating. Right. Yeah. Okay.
You have on here, and the next one you have here, is it Kegel or Kegel? I always get
Kegel.
Confused. It's Kegel.
Kegel.
The secret third option. Right.
The Kegel squeeze. Right. Yeah, and so there's a lot of junk out there that says that stronger Kegel muscles give you a better orgasm, which is not really true. So in a functional woman, and you know, practicing Kegel squeezes does not increase orgasmic power. So now I'm going to say something crazy, but dysfunctional pelvic floor, like maybe after childbirth, you have laxities. So making sure that is repaired with proper exercise, which is Kegel squeezes and things like that, is important to maintain orgasms. But you really can't like do 100 Kegels, you know, sitting at the stop sign or whatever and expect to have a better orgasm. That's not the way it works. In fact, you can have too tight a muscular vaginal muscles that reduce the power of orgasm. Sometimes it's actually learning to relax that is important. But overall, when you're actually having sex, squeezing your Kegel muscles is a way to draw your mind to the pelvis. Mm. It's a way to draw your attention to the pelvis. So, you know, if you are, I'm not feeling anything, tension sometimes is, intentional tension is a way to re-experience touch. So maybe your partner's touching you or inside you or whatever, and squeezing your own muscles brings a variation on touch And so that can be a good thing.
So you're encouraging those exercises then, just not
too much? What I'm saying is just in the moment of sex, pull a Kegel squeeze.
I see.
Pull your attention there. I'm not saying this, not necessarily the episode about Kegel squeezes. I mean, they help with lots of different things, but they can, some people, carry tension and it hurts. So we're talking about how to get a better orgasm.
Right.
How to get a better orgasm. And this is just about attention to your vulva.
Gotcha.
Okay. So the last thing is, when we need to make a referral. So I work with teams of doctors and physical therapists. Obviously, most of these women I'm going to send straight back to their gynecologist because I want to know blood work and I want to know testing. Where are their hormones? What level are they at? What's going on? If they're menopausal or if they're young and they're, shouldn't be menopausal, like what the heck is this all about? So they need blood work and they need a doctor to look at that and to figure that out. Sometimes, certainly with menopausal women, hormone therapy is important, and a lot of women got scared of that. They need proper information about that, whether they're a good candidate for it. There was a study done, the Women's Health Initiative, which came out and scared everybody off hormones, but it's been reinterpreted. So go back to your gynecologist, get the reinterpretation, make sure if you're a candidate for hormone replacement therapy that you get it. Also, Viagra-type meds. Mm-hmm. Viagra is not a male drug. It's a drug that dilates the blood vessels in the vulva or in the penis. So in both, basically genital areas for men and women, it dilates the vessels, producing essentially more vasocongestion. And as we've talked about, better vasocongestion often creates a better orgasm. Again, having a mechanical thing happen to you doesn't necessarily feel subjectively like arousal. Mm. So for a woman, she has to be involved in sex. For a man too. Just taking Viagra without stimulation, without being touched, without sexual stimulation, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
And he's not going to feel sexual. Although men tend to feel more sexual with erections than women do with erect tissue, unless her mind's turned on. But still, it's an important. It can be really helpful, especially with SSRIs. This is being used by doctors to help them, especially have, an orgasm again, because an SSRI can shut down orgasms. And lastly, I just want to say that there are new treatments, laser treatments, that increase tissue, like hardiness in the vagina and in the vulva. And postmenopausal, perimenopausal, this can be really effective. It basically makes you plump and juicy again and more responsive. So it can make you more responsive. So that's something to try. Talk to your doc about it. You're listening to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy with your sex therapist, Lori Watson, and your couples therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews. Thanks for listening.
Hey, help us stay on top here at Foreplay. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take one sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.